Amen. Let us say amen again. Once again, giving all praises, honor, and glory to the great God of heaven, our Father who art in heaven that sits on the throne of eternal life. God is good, not just some of the time, but God is good all the time. It is truly by God's grace and his mercy that he allowed each one of us to be assembled here once again on this fourth day of this wonderful revival. It is truly a blessing that God has blessed us with his grace and his mercy. And if you don't know what that grace is, it is that gift given when God knows you don't deserve it. Mercy is the gift given to the guilty. God knows we did not deserve a gift, but because of his grace, he still provides mercy. Amen. And so it is truly a blessing. It is not because of our social status. It is not because of our financial well-being. And it's truly not because of our academic status while we are here this evening, but it's because of God's grace and his mercy. And so we want to just continue to pray for this wonderful congregation. I want to just say thank you once again to your fine leadership, Brother Jones and Brother Powell and Brother Daniels and your wonderful deacons. It is just a marvelous, it is a privilege just to be at a wonderful and historical congregation such as Hart Street Church of Christ. Just having a wonderful time fellowshipping with your leadership, showing me a lot of stuff in the great state of Tennessee. And so I trust, hope, and pray that this congregation may continue to blossom and continue to be blessed by God. So if you're ever in the great state of Michigan, in the great city of Detroit, come look us up. And we'll definitely show you the wonderful hospitality that you have shown me throughout this week. We have one more day to go. And Sunday, we talked about the power within you. Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon, we talked about when the books were opened. Monday, we talked about the rules of engagement. Tuesday, we talked about tearing down the walls. And on yesterday, we talked about being young with a purpose. Today, we want to answer the ultimate question, why? Tomorrow, we're going to talk about this is it. And so I want to just encourage you, just hang in there, just one more day. Are y'all all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try not to be long, amen. I'm always reminded of what the scriptures say. I press toward the mark of the high calling. And I want to just say this to all of the sisters who have encouraged me to drink a lot of lemon. I drank a lot of lemon. I'm surprised I have not lost weight overnight. I am truly, truly blessed because I just knew I lost my voice totally yesterday. I really thank God for our sisters of the church. I tell Linwood this all the time, that I don't know where we'll be at as men if we didn't have our sisters. So I just really thank God that God has blessed us. We can't live without our ladies, amen? And now I know why God said it's not good for man to be alone. Praise God. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verses are 2 through 4. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 through 4. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. Just open up your Bible to the book of Genesis and start turning your pages to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is part of the what we will consider as the law of the Bible, which is historically written by or narrated by Moses. And so we want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and the verses that we're going to investigate and meditate on for the remaining night is verses 2 through 4. And when you are found, say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. Look what it says. And thou shalt remember, is that in your Bibles?
all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Is that in your Bibles this evening? Now, there are several things that I want you to underline in your Bibles this evening. Look at verse number 2. He says, and thou shalt remember. Underline in your Bibles this word, remember. If you don't hear anything else, I say, tonight, remember. Is it all right? Most ministers that engage in what you call revivals or gospel meetings, they have one objective in mind, is building block sermons. Amen? That means what I preach Sunday, don't forget it on Monday. That means what I preached on Tuesday, don't forget what you heard on Monday. What I preached on Wednesday, don't forget what you heard on Tuesday. Amen? Because everything has a building block. One of the things that I learned when I was in college down in Texas, one of the things that I learned that in order to master math in the degree, if anyone that pursues the degree of computer science, you have to take a math minor. And that's approximately 20 some odd different credit hours, if many of you know what that is. And when you deal with math, one of the fundamental aspects of learning math is it requires building blocks. If you don't understand the preliminary, you will never understand the hard part of math, amen? If you don't understand your minuses in your additions, you will never understand your subtractions. You will never understand your multiplications and your divisions, amen? And so it's very important that whatever we talked about on Sunday, we remember throughout this particular week. Amen? So in order for us to be effective Christians, we must remember. Are y'all following me? So the Bible says, look, I want you to underline in your Bibles this word, remember. Now I also want you to drop down to verse number two. He says, look, to humble thee, underline in your Bibles this word humble. And then I want you to underline in your Bibles this word prove. There are three things that you're going to go home with tonight. The word remember, the word humble, and the word prove. Is it all right? Now, if I can preach to you this afternoon, I want to talk to you about the ultimate question, why? Is it all right? Are y'all with me this evening? Don't y'all go to sleep on me now. We got one more day to go. The ultimate question, why? Why am I not prospering like I should? These are questions that we ask ourselves every single day. We ask the question, why? We wake up in the morning and we ask the question, why? We go throughout the day and we ask the question, why? We go to sleep and we ask the question, why? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I dealing with what I'm dealing with? Why is the question tonight? Why am I not prospering like everyone else? Why am I stricken with diseases? Why am my family and friends dying left and right? Why is my family out of control?
Why is everything I touch, it fails? Why can I get out of debt? Why can I go through the valleys? Why can I not climb over the mountains? Why can I not weather the storms? Why am I going through what I'm going through? We ask these questions every day. Don't sit here fooled and act like you don't. All of us, even the children of God, ask the question, why? When you go home tonight, ask yourself, why am I still asking why?
You're not going to get it till you get home.
We ask that question, why am I dealing with what I'm dealing with? Why can I make it?
Well, the Bible tells us why. God is trying to do something in your life. Too many of us are trying to do things on our own. It is not in you, ladies and gentlemen, to direct your own steps.
Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 10:23. He knew that it's not in me. God never put it in you to direct your own steps. That is why you need God and His holy word. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Why am I dealing with this? Why I can't get my wife together? Why I can't get my husband in check? Why can I make it like everybody else? Why is my neighbor and prospering and I'm not? Why am I dealing with what I'm dealing with?
The Bible said in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure all things were created. What are you saying, preacher? You are here because of God's purpose. You are here, born in this world, because God chose for you to be born. Let's start there for a minute. You are here because of God, your creator. And you have a purpose in life to fulfill. There are three things that we always ask ourselves. I did a funeral service several months ago. And I told the family, I said, God gives us three things. He gives us life, He gives us choice, and He gives us time. It's up to you to make the right choices in the amount of time of your life. And notice tonight, you don't have a lot of time. I'm talking to somebody this evening. Y'all mighty quiet on me. I'm not gonna be long, amen.
This is the most trivial question, even in the house of God, we ask ourselves, why, Lord? Why? I look at my friends and I see that they're making it. Why I'm not making it? I look at my brothers and sisters, and I see that things are going all right in their life. Why is not going in my life? Why, God? Why did you take my mama? Why did you take my father? Why did you take my brother? Why did you take my wife? Why did you take my husband? Why am I dealing with these diseases?
Don't act like you don't ask these questions.
And you may not ask them with your mouth verbally, but you ask it in your heart.
We're going to look at it in a minute.
We are here for the purpose of God.
Let us look at our text. Let's look at our text. Moses teaches us certain things that I want to pose as points to answer the question that so many people ask, why? Look what he says. And thou shalt. We need to get back in the shout, so we can get in the shallness of God. Are y'all following me? I'm just trying to help somebody. See, and I said it earlier. I said,
that the faster you learn your lesson, the faster you will get your blessing. So, thank you, Brother John. Y'all gotta get it over here. The faster you learn your lesson, that's what my daddy used to teach me. See, I used to ask my daddy, why are you whooping me constantly for the same stuff? Because you keep doing the same stuff. And I didn't understand that as a gospel minister. Members of the church used to ask me all the time, preacher, why do you keep preaching the same stuff? Because you keep doing the same stuff. Until you stop doing the same stuff, then I might go on preaching something else. You don't have to say amen if you don't want to.
Why am I going to talk about giving you $1 million if you don't know how to take care of the 5 I gave you?
I'm just trying to, and I share this with people, you know, and I always say this to people all the time. People come to me, they're always asking, they always begging. And the first thing I say is, what are you using with the 2 hands God already gave you? Are y'all following me? The Bible still say faith without what? Works is dead. And so we ask that question, why? Lord, why am I going through this? I need this to be branded on the blackboards of your minds. The Bible says, Moses says, and thou shalt. That word shalt is not an option. It's not an election. It is not something you can do with or something you can do without. He says, and thou shalt, meaning you better, you must remember, listen to this, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. The reason why you keep walking in circles, because you forgot what God has already done for you. Oh, can I come down for a minute? Can I come down for a minute? The reason why your relationship is cantankerous, because you forgot what God has done for you. The reason why you can't get out of debt, because you forgot what God has done for you. The reason why you can't get your house under control, your children is out of whack, your wife won't obey, your husband is jacked up, because you forgot. God has delivered us from Egypt. You might have didn't come from the African Egypt, but you came from the world. The world is our Egypt. And if God delivered you, don't forget where you came from. When God delivered the children of Egypt, the children of Israel from Egypt, they didn't need no GPS like we got today. Listen to this. They didn't have no fleet bus. They didn't have no airplane. God delivered them from Egypt. And this is what God did. He led them like God is leading you today. And I tell you this all the time. I don't know how it is here at Hart Street, but at Linwood. Linwood has been in existence for over 37 years. And Linwood had its ups and downs. Ministers after ministers. Y'all need to hear this, because it's all in the Bible. Ministers after ministers, leaders after leaders, church folk after church folk. But when I look up, the church is still here. That's because God was in the midst. Somebody in the house was praying. Even though everybody may not have been praying, at least somebody been praying. The only reason why Hart Street is here, the only reason why you come this far by faith, is because of God. Don't forget that.
The minute you forget God has brought you this far by faith, once you leave God out,
praise God, we don't want that. I don't need to dwell too much on that, amen.
But you are here because God led you this far. Regardless of the adversities, the trials, and tribulations, you made it this far because of God.
Listen to this. God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, led them by day with a pillar of cloud. He led them at night with a pillar of fire. They didn't need no roadmap. They had God. What are you saying, preacher? You didn't need no roadmap because you had God. Your roadmap was God's word. And that's all you needed. Am I right about it this evening? And so not only they didn't even have time to go to the grocery store because God knew they needed some food. So he fed them manna. See, God does things miraculously that you can't even see. You wonder how you got this far? Because of God. You wonder how your relationship made it through all of the storms? Because of God. My mother and father never thought I'd go to college, but I did. Y'all have to say amen if you don't want to. I know how parents is. You just ain't gonna mount up to nothing. I came this far because God.
You are here tonight because of God. And the Bible says, thou shalt remember. Don't forget where you came from. Now, don't be like Lot's wife and look back and have your situation turn into a salty situation. But only time you should look back is to see how far you done come.
Not to go back.
You keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. God has a crown of righteousness waiting just for you. But don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that, I used to be a sinner too. You know how we get sometimes? I done arrived. And sometimes we get so righteous and so holy, amen. We forget who we serve.
You don't have to say amen if you don't want to. I'm gonna hit some of y'all in a minute. Sometimes we serve Christianity instead of Christ. Let me go back up on the pulpit. You're not going to get it till you get home. I tell people that all the time. You're remembering the wrong stuff.
You are a Christian because you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You serve God, not the religion.
So when you start serving the religion, you start creating traditions contrary to the word of God. Let me throw this. Listen to this. Thou shalt remember all the way the children of Israel was led through a wilderness. And if you know what a wilderness is, ladies and gentlemen, there's no paths. It's dark, wooded. It is rocky, full of turmoils. Full of trials. There's no direction. I know somebody here tonight is still wandering through the wilderness. You're probably saying, well, what is my wilderness? If you have chaos in your life right now, you're still in the wilderness. The wilderness don't have no roads. The wilderness don't have decorative trees and beautiful roses and flowers. Everything in the wilderness is raggedy. The animals in the wilderness seeks to devour you because everyone is hungry. If you have confusion in your life right now, it's because you're still in the wilderness. We're trying to answer that question, why?
God said, remember that I delivered you. I brought you out. In other words, the children of Israel went through this wilderness by the guidance of God, got to the Red Sea.
started complaining. You know how we get? We forgot that God had delivered us. And we've been stricken with all types of diseases. So let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. All it took for God to knock me down one time in Texas for me to wake up. Listen to this. When you get your lesson, you will get your blessing. If you're going through a lesson right now, get it as fast as you can so you can get out of this wilderness. God don't have to keep knocking me down so I can look up. I'm going to keep looking up as much as I possibly can. I don't care if they have to put a crutch on my neck so I can keep looking up. Because if you've been where I've been at, how I've been at, I didn't get here just because of my own intuition and my education. I got here because of God's grace. I didn't wake up because of my own health. I woke up because of God's grace. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The devil knew exactly how powerful I was going to be. And y'all probably said, is he arrogant? What did I talk about Sunday? The power within you. See, the devil knows how powerful you can be. But the devil needs you to forget what God had put in you. I'm about to get ready to close in a few minutes, but I need to help somebody. When I first got back to Detroit, I got to tell y'all this story. I had my issues in Texas because God was just blessing me. Landed a $40,000 job. Everything, I was a campus minister. I was getting everybody's organization. I was rising to the top of everybody's organization. I just about to get a degree in computer science. Oh, everything was just going good for me. Even bought a brand new car. But I got puffed up with pride. And instead of keeping God first, I remember God because I still stayed in worship. I still went to Bible study. I still defended the faith. But I stopped studying like I supposed to. I stopped praying like I supposed to. I stopped meditating day and night like I supposed to because I was engulfed in the affairs of the world. But I did not forget God. But I still did not give God all that I supposed to give him. Just like the children of Israel, folk complained, but God still delivered them. See, God know where you mess up, but God brought you here because of his grace. And as a result, at the end of my tenure in Texas, God took it all away from me. How did I land back in Detroit? Because I didn't have nothing that I worked for in Texas. I never wanted to go back to Detroit. Not that I did not like Detroit, but I wanted to stay in Texas. But I forgot what God has done for me. So he had to take me back to my roots. But let me tell you something. God was not done with me yet. I got back and Darrell Holt ordained me as the assistant minister. I didn't expect to come to work. I came to get my stuff together. See, when God has a purpose for you, it's going to be fulfilled whether you like it or not. And next thing you know, there were some tragic issues at Linwood where the minister had to leave, took half of the church with him. And I had to go down there as a cleanup man and been down there ever since, cleaning up. And September would be 5 years. But let me tell you something. When I first got to Linwood in 2007, and just at the time they installed me as their full-time minister, by October, I was stricken with lymphatic cancer. Y'all don't have to say amen if you don't want to. Because I still believe what David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. It's him who heals those diseases. So I'm not worried about that. I knew that this was an attack of Satan because Satan knew that if I got to Linwood, I would change that city. The church was hurting. And so God took away that disease, at least put it in remission.
And I ask God, why?
As good looking as I am, to say, man, if you don't want to. If you don't think I look good, nobody else will.
And now I got edema.
As many of you probably know what edema is.
Well, if you have swelling on one of your lip nodes, it causes swelling in your leg. And I about ran track. I was in RTC. But now, God, why are you giving me this? My grace is sufficient. So I don't have time to play games. I don't have time to give God a dead religion. I got to give God a spiritual, truth, lively religion. Because I don't know how long I'm going to be here. But the time that I am here, I got to remember God and what he's done for me.
And some folk want to stop your praise and tell you we don't do that in this church. That's fine with me, but let me go out there and shout for God. Because you don't know what he's done for me.
And you don't know, most folk don't know what we've done, what God has done for each one of us. God has brought all of us a mighty long way.
And so Moses said, look, Israel, remember what God has done for you.
You've been in prison for 430 years. You didn't have to ask for food and God gave it to you. You didn't have to ask for water and God gave it to you. You didn't have to ask for no direction. God gave it to you. You didn't have to worry about your objectives. God delivered you and you still complain. Why are you complaining?
It's no reason as a child of God to complain. As long as God's grace is sufficient. He says, remember, I delivered you 40 years in the wilderness. Israel, why was you in the wilderness for 40 years? Oh, some of y'all, listen to this. Because you complained too much. And you forgot that God woke you up this morning. Don't raise your hand. I ask Lynn with this all the time. How many of y'all woke up this morning with your mind on Jesus? How many of us woke up this morning and just said, before you even touch ground, thank you, Jesus. What is it that you want me to do today? See, it's the simple things that God wants us to remember. And he might bless you with the desires of your heart. If you just remember the small stuff, then God might bless you with the big stuff. But if you can't prove your stuff, you'll prove your ways with the small stuff, how are you going to prove it to God with the big stuff? Are y'all following me? Look what the Bible says. We got to move on. He says, look, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Number one, to humble thee. Why, God, am I going through what I'm going through? Why, God, am I dealing with what I'm dealing with? Why, God? Why, God? And then sometimes we don't even ask God. We get on a friend, or we get on the phone, and we call our friends, and we ask them why. Y'all don't have to say, amen, if you don't want to. Why did I have to flunk physics 4 times? Because I played too much. That's why. But I made it. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. See, the faster you learn your lesson in the wilderness. See, the promised land was less than a week from where they were. But because they complained, they didn't learn the lesson. They never made it to the promised land. Don't let that be you. Sitting and asking every day, why? Just know that God's grace is sufficient. Because your promised land is right at your fingertips. All you got to do is that when God takes you through, go through it.
Don't sit, amen, and stare at the walls of the Red Sea.
Y'all not going to get it.
They complained at the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. Can you imagine if the children of Israel stayed on that dry land marveling at their problems? We don't have time to marvel. devil and ask why, get to going. So you can get your blessing. God wants to bless you tonight. And you don't have time to miss out on your blessing.
And so the Bible says, look, why? Because I need you to remember. And the reason why I took you in this wilderness for 40 years, I led you, is because I want to humble you. Why are you going through with what you're going through? Why are you dealing with what you're dealing with? Because God wants to humble you.
And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and listen to this, that he may exalt you in due time. It's not your time to be exalted. You know what exaltation is? Meaning that God is down in your valley, gonna lift you up. Where are you at right now? And how far is your valley? There's nothing too low for God to stoop down and get. And there's nothing too high where God can reach and bring you down. Are y'all following me? And so what God wants to do, the reason you ask the question why, and the reason why you're going through with what you're going through, is because God wants to humble you.
This word humble is defined as meekness. It is modesty. It is the state of mind of being submissive, not arrogant or prideful. Stop putting your mind on your money and your money on your mind. Get your focus on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of your faith. The faster you take your mind off of this world and put your mind on Jesus, put your hand in the Master's hand, everything is going to be all right. The faster you get down on your knees and you humble yourself to God, the faster you will be exalted. You want to see a breakthrough in your life tonight? Get humble with Jesus. Is it all right? The Bible says, look, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 12, he says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. What are you saying, Jesus? If you're running around here and you're exalting yourself, you better believe God going to bring you down. Why keep going through the storms? But the faster you humble yourself, don't let God humble you.
Can I say that one more time?
God humbled me, and I'm still humble. I'm still suffering. But when I wake up, thank you, Jesus, and I'm still remembering that your grace is sufficient. Humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, and God has to humble you, the Bible said it, he will abase you. You thought you got it good. You thought everything was all right. Lift yourself up in pride and think that you got here because of your own education. Think that you got here because of your health. Think that you got here because of your social status. God will bring you down. Why go through that? Why go through that? God wants you to remember that I'm the one that's in charge. And all he wants to do is to humble you. But the significance of his humbleness is not to make you feel less than a person, but it's so you can depend on him. And when you get to the point where you're totally dependent on Jesus for everything, he will lift you up. The Bible still says in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. What is the desires of your heart? If you want the desires of your heart, humble yourself before God, and he will bring it to pass. The Bible said in James chapter 4 and verse number 6, but he giveth more grace.
Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Stop walking around here prideful and humble yourself so God can give you grace.
Not only, as we move on, not only the Bible says that he wants to humble you. Look what look what the text says, that he wants to prove you. He wants to prove you. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God wants to prove you. He wants to prove you, ladies and gentlemen. Are y'all following me today? We're closing. The reason why we go through what we go through is because God wants to humble us. God wants to prove us. Are y'all following me? And God wants you to do it. Humble yourself on your own. Don't let God humble you. Are y'all following me? Because when mama and daddy humbles you, y'all have to say amen if you don't want to. It's not going to be what you want. You thought you had it good. You thought you had everything. When God gets you to realize who he is, you won't have nothing but him. I tell people this all the time. Sometimes God got to lay you down on a hospital bed just so you can look up. Everything is symbolic. We go through what we go through because God wants us to be humble, and the humbleness brings on his exaltation. And not only that, God wants to prove us. We go through what we go through because pure gold will be tried through fire. And when it comes out, it is still pure gold. It never melts. See, when you go through the fire of God, you will still come out strong. And even stronger. And that's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters for his name's sake. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. He says, surely goodness and grace, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Even when my enemies came to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host shall encamp against me, the war shall rise against me. In this will I be confident. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm glad that I serve a God that I don't have to keep asking why. I already know the answer. And the faster I get down on my knees and go through the fire of proving, I can get my blessing. Because the Bible says that God has given us all things. He's not going to give you nothing else. He's not giving you nothing else. Can I say that one more time? You probably saying, well, what about my husband I've been asking for? He's giving it to you. The faster you get humble and the faster you go through the storm and stop looking in the trash cans for them. Your husband is somewhere. God is preparing. All you got to do is get right with God. You battling with debt. Can't get your accounts right. Got all these credit cards. Living in above the Joneses, when the Joneses don't even like you. Trying to be like the other man, when the other man stabbing you in your back. Y'all don't have to say amen if you don't want to.
God is not going to get you out of debt until you know how to handle what you got. Why is he going to give you a $5,000 credit card when you came?
Well, y'all don't have to say amen if you don't want to.
Stay out of the malls. Stop spending when you know you got to give Sunday. When you know you got to put food on your table Monday. When you know you got to take care of your health.
Y'all going to get it in a minute. The faster you learn your lesson in this wilderness, the faster you humble yourself, the faster you go through the storms. And I used to tell people this all the time. Why we got to go through the storms? God never said that it's going to be easy. But he did promise you one thing. I will be with you as you go through it. See, there's going to be some storms in your life. I'm going to say that one more time as we get ready to close. There are going to be some storms. And if you have not experienced the storms, keep on living. I'm only 37 years old and I'm experiencing storms. Are y'all following me? Storms is not necessarily where there's raging seas and tornadoes. Storms can be social. Storms can be spiritual. Storms can be physical. Storms can be economic. Storms can be social. Storms can be a whole lot of, it could be mental. God tells us by example that you're going to go through some storms. But let me tell you something. When you go through your storm, when you go through your storm, to every storm, and I preached this back at home, to every storm, whether it's a tornado, hurricane, whatever it may be, there is an eye in the storm. Are y'all getting this? There is an eye in the storm. All H-E double hockey stick is around you. And if you don't know what that means, go look it up. Back at home, I probably would have said the word, but I'm visiting. And some of y'all said when you get home, get on the phone, just, oh, breaking loose in my life. Or because you're still in the wilderness. Well, in the storm, there is an eye, and around the eye, there's chaos and confusion. When you find yourself in the midst of confusion and chaos, just find the eye of the storm. Because the eye of the storm, that's where you're going to find peace. That's where you're going to find peace. If you are in the midst of confusion and you can get to the eye of the storm, don't worry about the confusion. Just stand in the eye of peace. It's going to be double hockey stick on your left, your right, in the front, and in the back. But one thing you can rest assured that I'm in the eye. I'm always standing in the eye. Well, preacher, who's the eye?
Jesus said, I am. Find Jesus. And no matter the trials and tribulations that you are dealing with, no matter the valleys that you're going to go through, the mountains that you got to climb, there's peace when you find Jesus. No matter if folk won't let you through, you press through the crowd and just touch the hem of his power. Everything is going to be all right. Don't ever ask that question, why again? When you have not yet humbled yourself. When you have not yet gone through the storms. Because a breakthrough is exactly what it means. You got to go through. You got to go through it. I wish and I prayed that my physics teacher had mercy on me. Why do I gotta keep looking at it? It takes 4 years to get a computer science degree. It took me 5 years. Why, Brother Stewart? Because I just couldn't get physics right. Well, why couldn't you get it right? Because I refused to study. And if you went to school where I went, it was parties going on, amen. You don't have to say amen if you don't want to, it's all right.
See, when you get caught up in the wrong stuff, then you lose your purpose in life. God don't want that for you. That's why he's long-suffering, not willing that any man should perish. But the reason why God is long-suffering, the reason why you're here tonight, because God know what you've been through. God know what you're going through. God know what you are dealing with. But the reason why you are here is because of God's grace and his mercy. He's not through with you yet. You have dealt with some stuff all throughout your life. You're only here not because of a good sermon, but because of God's grace. He's not done with you yet. I tell people this all the time. You make it to 60 and 70, 100 years old because God is not through with you yet. Humble yourself. Prove yourself. And never ask the question, why? Because I know why. I need to get down on my knees. I need to humble my heart. Are y'all following me? And I need to find out, God, why you got me going through what I'm going through? Let me hurry up and get over this. Lord, direct my footsteps. Don't ask God why. Just say, Lord, direct me. Direct me right now. I don't need to know why. Just direct my footsteps. And you'll know this, that he shall direct your steps. You hear this evening. You're not a child of God. The greatest decision you can ever make is to become a Christian. Yes, sir. Is to find the eye of the storm. I'm not talking about a physical eye. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about God the Father, who is I am. Once you find Jesus, all of the stuff around your life is meaningless. Are y'all following me? And that's why the Bible said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, meaning I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get you together so you can get through this storm. Are y'all following me? So you're here tonight. Without Christ, you can't do nothing. But with him, you can do all things. What are you dealing with right now? Are you a member of the church? If you're not a member of the church, you need to become one. Jesus in Matthew 16 and 18 said, upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. Not our church, my church. And he said, the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Did y'all get that? Should not prevail against it? That means that no matter where you go, as long as you're in the eye of the storm, which is Jesus, no matter how much H-E double hockey stick is around you, it will not prevail on you. See, people get this so confused that, well, you know what? Hell not going to prevail over the building. No, hell's not going to prevail in your life. Hell's not going to prevail on you when you die here. Are y'all following me? When you with Jesus and you in the house of God, the people of God, you have safety. Because in the time of trouble, he will hide you. Man. So you're here tonight. Become one. As Paul said, I'm begging you. The greatest decision you can never make is to become a Christian. Well, how do you do that? Believe that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins. In John 3 and 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did Jesus come to do? He came to die for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, that the Bible teaches us that by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. But if we drop down to verse number 21, we learn that righteousness came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Adam brought in sin, but God sent his only begotten son to get rid of sin. Believe the fact that you are a sinner, and believe this, that Jesus came to die for your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. This is the very power of God unto salvation. How do God save? By sending his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried, and he rose again in order that we may have the right to eternal life. If you believe that, Mark 16 and 16, Hebrews 11 and 6, Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, which is a change of heart, change of mind, saying, I can't do this by myself. Come into the understanding that I need Jesus. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Baptism is essential to salvation. It's contrary to what the TV say, what the world say. You must be baptized. You must be immersed. You must be born again of the Spirit and water in order to see eternal life. Amen. Jesus commanded in Matthew 28:18-20. He commanded in Mark 16:16. John 3:3, John 3:5. He commanded it over and over and over again. The apostles follow suit, Acts 2:38, where Peter, who responded to that great question, men and brethren, what shall we do? On Acts chapter 2, he says, repent, amen, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those are the facts and the obedience of the gospel. But what are the promises? God washes away your sins. He gives you his Spirit, Acts 2:38. He adds you to the church, Acts 2:47. He protects you, Matthew 28:20. And if you live faithful, obedient until death, eternal life will be yours. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. If you need to give your life to Christ, if you've done all of that, and you're still asking that question why, you need to rededicate your life. You need to recommit your life and stop asking the question why and say, thank you, God, because I know your grace is sufficient. You need to come to Jesus right now as we together stand and sing the Savior's invitation. Come to Jesus right now.
Oh, do not let
come to Jesus
world
right
depart.
Now. Oh, do not let the world depart.
And close not.
And close thy eyes against the light. Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus
right now. Come to Jesus right now. Oh, why not tonight?
Oh, why
not tonight?
And not tonight.
Oh, why not tonight?
Oh, why?
Come to him right now.
And not tonight.
Come to him right now.
And
wilt thou be saved?
Be saved?
Wilt thou be saved?
And then why
then
not?
Then why not?
Why?